Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the 3M second quarter 2008 earnings conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be placed in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, you will be invited to participate in a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, simply press star and the number one on your telephone keypad, and questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, July 24th, 2008. We would now like to turn the call over to 3M.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt Ginter, Head of Investor Relations for 3M. I'd like to extend a sincere welcome to all investors and analysts to our second quarter 2008 business review. You will find this morning's presentation on our investor relations website at 3M.com, and these slides will remain on the site along with an audio replay of today's call for an extended period of time. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statements on slide number two. During today's conference call, we will make certain predictive statements that reflect our current views and estimates about our future performance and financial results. These statements are based on certain assumptions and expectations of future events that are subject to risks and uncertainties. Item 1A of our most recent Form 10-K lists some of the most important risk factors that could cause actual results to differ from our predictions. Also, allow me to put in a brief plug for our upcoming investor meeting in St. Paul on September 9th. You should have received an email last week with a link to our registration site. If you received the invite, please take a moment and reply as to whether or not you plan to attend. And if for some reason you did not receive an invitation, either drop us a note or give us a phone call and we'll get one out to you ASAP. Registration will close on August 29th. As per usual, today is a busy day in that many companies are reporting earnings. We will do our best to keep the call to 1 hour. Again, you can help during the Q&A by limiting yourself to one question and one follow-up so that all questions can be fully answered. George Buckley, our CEO, and Pat Campbell, our CFO, will both make some formal comments today, and then we'll get to your questions. So now please go to slide number three, and I'd like to turn the program over to George.
Thanks, Matt, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. Today I'll make some brief opening comments, and Pat will then take you through the detail of the quarter, and then I'll return to address some of the key issues, including the state of our optical film business and our outlook going forward. After that, we're happy to address your questions and comments. So, to get started, our second quarter is perhaps best characterized as a repeat of the first quarter, a good quarter, especially when you look at the core of the company. Where there was any negative color, it was mostly provided by the secular change taking place in optical films. But on balance, it was a quarter in which we fought our way to a good overall result. Over the past 2.5 years, we've spent most of our time investing in and strengthening the core businesses of 3M, driving international growth and fixing our supply chains. 3M has owned and operated these core businesses for many years. In fact, one of them, Abrasives, we've owned for over 100 years. It's primarily this recent strategy of reinvestment in our core and in international that has made the current result possible. Despite all the headwinds that optical, commodities, and the US economy threw at us, the fact is that we still met our numbers and delivered the bacon. I'm also pleased to report that at the operational level, 3M is performing superbly, with our largest three businesses posting double-digit increases of sales in the last quarter. So after that brief introduction, let me turn it over to Pat for an in-depth discussion of our strong second quarter. Pat?
Thanks, George, and good morning, everyone. Please turn to slide number four. Indeed, this was a very good quarter for 3M, and the positives far outweighed our challenges. We posted record sales for the sixth consecutive quarter, and five of our six businesses achieved strong growth in sales and profits, including double-digit profit growth in three of our largest businesses. We were pleased that margins were 20% or better across the board. We converted nearly 100% of net income to free cash flow in the quarter, which enabled us to return nearly $1 billion to our shareholders via a combination of dividends and share repurchases. On the other side, the challenges we face will not surprise you. The U.S. economy remained difficult, particularly in those areas that touch the consumer. George will update you on optical systems later. And finally, commodity input prices continue to rise, which pressured our raw materials somewhat, but we have a good pricing story here, which I will address here in a few minutes. Please turn to slide number 5. All information that I will present today will exclude special items. So allow me to summarize our special items quickly to get them out of the way. Last year's second quarter results included a net gain of 2 cents per share from special items. The second quarter of 2008 reported earnings per share of $1.33 included a net charge of 6 cents per share related to a loss on the divestiture of High Jump Plus software, along with charges for exit activities at an industrial and transportation manufacturing facility in the UK. Excluding these special items, Q2 2008 earnings per share were $1.39 as compared to $1.23 per share in last year's second quarter. Please refer to the attachment in today's press release for more in-depth discussion on special items. Second quarter sales grew almost 10% to $6.7 billion, which represents the sixth consecutive quarter of record sales. In our three largest global businesses, namely industrial and transportation, healthcare, and safety, security, and protection services, revenues expanded at a double-digit clip. On a local currency basis, sales were up 4.6% versus last year. Looking at the business geographically, sales growth was once again strongest in our international operations. Sales grew at a double-digit pace in Latin America, Europe, and in Canada, and at 1% in Asia Pacific. Importantly, if you adjust Asia Pacific results for optical systems, sales growth was nearly 17% during the quarter. Operating income was up 8.5% to $1.5 billion, as four of our six business segments delivered double-digit operating income percent increases. Operating margins topped 22% for the quarter, with all six of our business segments achieving 20% plus operating margins. For several years in succession, we have continued to maintain best-of-breed margins regardless of the business environment. The strength of our broad business portfolio overcame a tough U.S. economic environment, all-time high raw material prices for many key materials, and a secular transition in our optical film business. I applaud the efforts of 3Mers everywhere for pulling off what many deem impossible, that is maintaining superior operating margins while simultaneously investing in growth programs for the future. Earnings per share in the second quarter was $1.39, up 13% year on year. Please turn to slide 6 for an in-depth review of the second quarter performance versus the same quarter last year. We have again isolated the impact of optical films in order to help you better understand our results. The strength of our global portfolio was again evident in the second quarter, as sales increased almost 10%, or 14% ex-optical. This 14% growth was a combination of organic growth, acquisitions, and of course, positive currency impacts. This marks the sixth consecutive quarter of record sales. Gross margins were down slightly from last year's comparable quarter. It was no surprise to us that raw materials rose year on year in the range of 3 to 4%. Excluding the optical business, we were able to offset this inflation with selling price increases, along with relentless process improvements and cost reductions of our own. So once again, we are effectively managing through a challenging commodity price environment. Operating profit grew by 8.5%, or 18% ex-optical, and our premium margins continued at 22.1%. And finally, our tax rate improved by almost 2 points to just under 31%, consistent with our tax reduction strategy. Earnings per share rose 13% to $1.39 per share. Excluding optical films, earnings per share would have improved by nearly 24% year on year. Let's now shift our focus to bringing down our second quarter sales growth performance. Please turn to slide number 7. Worldwide sales growth in U.S. dollars increased 9.7%, led by our international operations with sales growth of 11.9%. U.S. sales growth was up 6% in the quarter. Second quarter local currency growth was 4.6%, with organic growth up 40 basis points, price up 10 basis points, and acquisitions, primarily Aero Technologies, adding 4.1%. Excluding the impact of the optical business, local currency sales increased 8.1%, as organic volumes increased 2.5%, selling prices increased 1.1%, and acquired volume was up 4.5%. International sales on a local currency basis increased 3.4% in the second quarter. Organic volumes increased 1.8%, with 5 of 6 businesses posting positive organic volume growth. Selling prices declined 1.1%, including a 12% price decline in optical films. Acquisitions added 2.7% to international local currency growth in the quarter. Ex-optical, international local currency sales growth was 9.1%, including 5.5% from organic growth, 3.1% from acquisitions, and 0.5% from selling prices. On a regional basis, international local currency sales growth was led by Latin America at 21%, followed by Canada at 7%, and Europe with local currency sales growth of 6%. Local currency sales declined 4% in Asia Pacific due to a 37% local currency decline in optical. Excluding optical, Asia Pacific sales in the local currencies increased 10% over the same quarter last year. Economic conditions in the U.S. continued to remain challenging, especially in the retail, housing, and automotive OEM markets. Second quarter local currency sales increased 6.6%, driven by a 6.5% impact from acquisitions. Selling prices increased 2% in the quarter, with all businesses delivering price increases as we try to offset the continued high price of commodities, while organic volumes were down 1.9%. 4 of our 6 business segments delivered sales growth in the U.S. during the quarter. Please turn to slide 8, where I will briefly comment on our year-to-date progress. At the end of the second quarter, year-to-date sales were up 9.3%, with operating income up 6%, and earnings per share were up 10.8%. Excluding optical, year-to-date sales are up 12.4%, while profits increased 15.2%. And finally, free cash flow was up 4.7% year-to-date versus the first half of last year. Please turn to slide 9 for a review of the balance sheet and cash flow metrics for the second quarter. Free cash flow for the quarter was $909 million versus $866 million last year. Free cash flow conversion for the quarter was nearly 100%. Working capital turns were 4.9 turns, down slightly year-on-year and in line sequentially. Foreign currency translation increased accounts receivable and inventories by $243 million and $167 million year-on-year, while reducing them sequentially by 36 and 13, respectively. Second quarter capital expenditures were $334 million, down $14 million versus the same quarter last year, and up sequentially by $36 million. Through 6 months, we have spent $632 million on capital expenditures and expect full-year CapEx to be in the range of $1.3 to $1.4 billion. Dividends to our shareholders were $351 million during the quarter, consistent with past quarters. Share repurchases totaled $572 million in the second quarter, which is up slightly from recent quarters. Weighted average shares outstanding were 712 million, down nearly 3% year-on-year and 1% sequentially. And lastly, our debt-to-cap ratio was 32% at the end of the quarter. Now let's delve into our performance for each of our segments for the second quarter. Please turn to slide 10 for a summary of our results for our largest segment, Industrial and Transportation, a business where innovative solutions help manufacturers improve their businesses. With broad-based revenue growth across the portfolio, Industrial and Transportation delivered an outstanding quarter with sales of $2.1 billion, up 15.5%, and operating income up 18%. Sales growth in the business was led by our industrial adhesives and tape business, followed by our automotive aftermarket, abrasives, and closure systems for personal hygiene products. Local currency sales increased 8.7%, including 4.2% from acquisitions. Year-to-date, sales are up 16.3%, with operating income also up 16.3%, as operating margins held steady at 21.5%. All geographic regions saw growth in the quarter, including the United States. Strong market penetration continued in emerging economies, especially the BRIC P countries, where the business drove strong double-digit organic local currency growth. Elsewhere around the globe, we saw double-digit growth in Europe, Asia Pacific, and Latin America. Some of the products driving growth in the second quarter were abrasives used in auto body shops, laminating adhesives providing attachment solutions in industrial applications, diaper closure systems, and packaging, masking, and specialty tapes. Continued investment in new technology has brought some very innovative new products, such as new glass bubble filler that can reduce the weight of automobiles and clean sanding discs that can significantly reduce dust throughout various finishing processes in industrial market and automotive refinishing applications. Industrial and transportation business continues to bring 3M technologies and solutions to high growth market spaces such as oil and gas, renewable energy, and the aerospace market. Now please turn to slide 11 for a look at the second quarter highlights for our healthcare business, where we provide the healthcare community with innovative solutions based on 3M technology platforms to improve patient lives and the productivity of healthcare providers. Healthcare continued its exceptional performance for 2008 with broad-based sales growth of 13.1%. Profits rose nearly 12% to $310 million. Local currency growth was 7.7%, nearly all organic. Year-to-date, sales have increased 12.5%, with profits up 15.5%, and margins increasing 80 basis points from 2007 levels to 28.8%. Three divisions drove strong double-digit growth in the quarter, namely orthodontics, dental, and medical, with orthodontics and dental, or our oral care business, showing outstanding strength and leading the way. The U.S. market had mid-single-digit growth, while international sales growth was outstanding, as all regions drove both double-digit growth for sales and profits. Some of the products that drove sales included advanced wound care and surgical tapes, dental restorative materials, and equipment for crown and bridge procedures, and self-ligating brackets for orthodontics. In our medical business, we closed the SoluMed acquisition, further solidifying our position as a provider of leading-edge medical products designed to prevent infections. Also, we were awarded top honors by the International Association of Food Protection for our contributions to food safety technology. 3M's dental business, where we saw double-digit sales growth and profits, closed in July a deal for Imtech, a manufacturer of dental implants and scanning equipment primarily known for the mini dental implants, which importantly, patients can be treated by the regular dentist versus seeing a specialist. We also marketed the first sale of our chairside oral scanner, a digital impression system that enables the motion capture of accurate and precise dental impressions. In orthodontics, we continue to deliver strong double-digit results, and we announced a deal to acquire the German sister company of U.S.-based Lingual Care, expanding our offering for digital orthodontic products into Europe and Asia, and helping to meet the surging demand for this invisible orthodontic solution. Please turn to slide 12 for a recap of our second quarter performance by Safety, Security, and Protection Services, where our products increase the safety, security, and productivity of workers, facilities, and systems around the world. Led by acquisitions, primarily Aero, along with organic growth in personal protection, window films, cleaning solutions for commercial buildings, and corrosion protection, Safety, Security, and Protection Services deliver sales of $1 billion for the first time ever, up 30.2% from last year. Growth in local currency was 25.6%, including 19.8% from acquisitions. Acquired growth was primarily from Aero Technologies, an Indianapolis-based but global manufacturer of personal protection and energy-absorbing products that aids hearing protection and fall protection lines to 3M's, that adds hearing protection and fall protection lines to 3M's existing full line of respiratory products. Operating income for the quarter rose 30%, while margins remained steady at 21.2% as compared with last year. Year to date, sales have increased 22%, with profits up 21%, and margins holding steady at or above 22%. Included in this operating income results are approximately $20 million of one-time Aero acquisition-related costs, negatively impacting Q2 and year-to-date margins by about 2% for the quarter and 1% year-to-date. Driven by the Aero acquisition, sales were strong across the globe, led by double-digit increases in Europe, the United States, and Latin America. In personal protection, we continue to see strong demand for our maintenance-free and elastomeric respirators, as well as reflective materials. And with the Aero acquisition, we now offer a more complete personal protection solution that spans the industrial, military, and construction markets. Our Speed Glass auto darkening filters and helmet product development team has been awarded Business Week's Gold Idea Award for Design Excellence. In building and commercial services, we saw a strong demand for our Ford maintenance products due to an increase in commercial construction in many parts of the world. Also, we have continued to see steady growth in our corrosion protection products, where we provide pipe coating solutions that extend the life of both the underground and above ground pipelines. In our track and trace business, we refined our strategic direction for the tracking of high value assets, asset utilization, and safety and security applications. In connection with these strategic refinements, we sold off the software business. Now please turn to slide 13 for details about our consumer and office business, home to some of our best known brands and enduring franchises. Our consumer and office business improved from Q1 as sales increased 7.8% to $899 million in the second quarter. Local currency sales were up 3.5%, including 0.7% from acquisitions. Profits were up 9.1% with operating income margins of 20%. Year-to-date sales are up 5.2% and operating profits are up 1%, which we feel is an outstanding result in the current business climate. We saw positive growth in all divisions, with do-it-yourself and home care leading the way. Overall sales growth was tempered by weakness in the office mass retail channel in the United States. Geographically, 3M's international subsidiaries continued to drive growth again this quarter, with double-digit sales growth in all regions, led by Europe and Asia Pacific. Through expanded distribution, brand presence, and merchandising programs, our consumer office business drove outstanding growth of our Filtrete air filtration products for residential HVAC systems. Working with key accounts such as Walmart, Target, Home Depot, and Lowe's, the Filtrete team delivered sales growth 75% in the second quarter versus last year. In our home care division, we recently launched the Scotch-Brite Ultra Nail Saver, as well as Fur Fighter Pit Hair Remover that has taken off with customers, and which has recently been endorsed by Martha Stewart, as well as gaining the Good Housekeeping magazine seal of approval. In addition, Consumer Reports just listed our Ultrathon insect repellent as an everyday best buy for 2008. We also launched our Next Care cold sore treatment product, leveraging our experience in manufacturing products focused on skin wellness to provide consumers with lasting, permanent relief from cold sores. Other products driving growth in the second quarter were Scotch-Brite scouring products, along with the Scotch Blue masking tapes and Command mounting and fastening products. Please turn to slide 14, where I'll provide an overview of results for the electro and communications business, where we are also a leading supplier to the electrical, electronics, and telecommunications industries. Sales for the quarter increased nearly 8% versus the same quarter last year. Profits rose 11.4%, driven by outstanding cost discipline, producing margins of 20.1%. Sales in local currency increased 2.2%, mostly from organic growth. Year to date, sales have increased 8.5%, with profits up 12.5%, and margins growing by 70 basis points to 20.1%. Overall, electrocommunications saw double-digit growth in three of its businesses: electrical markets, electronic materials markets, and communications markets. International sales growth was the strongest, led by double-digit growth in Asia Pacific and Europe. Some of the products driving growth in the second quarter were outside plant and central office equipment used in the telecommunications industry, insulating and protecting products used in the electrical applications, and electrical and power grid solutions used in the energy and electrical power industry. We continue to see our volumes for inkjet printer circuits decline, which adversely affected sales by 1% and operating income by nearly 3%. To date, our aluminum conductor composite reinforced, or ACCR product, which allows energy suppliers to transmit more than two times the capacity without the risks and delays of major construction projects, has had 25 installations, with the most recent installs being announced in Shanghai, British Columbia, Brazil, and Silicon Valley. Please turn to slide 15 for a review of our second quarter results for display and graphics segment, where we make the films that brighten the displays on electronic products, such as flat panel computer monitors, cell phones, PDAs, and LCD televisions, along with reflective sheeting for transportation safety, commercial graphics systems, and projectors and projection systems. During the second quarter, we saw positive double-digit growth in commercial graphics and single-digit growth in our traffic safety systems, where we were recognized by the American Road and Transportation Builders Association with a first plate award for environmental protection and mitigation. And if you watch closely during the upcoming Beijing Olympics, you'll see our commercial graphics specialty films at work all around the sports venues. Overall, second quarter sales for display and graphics were down nearly 16%, with profits down 36%, driven by the sales and profit declines of 36 and 54% respectively in our optical film business. Operating margins held constant at 21.7%. Excluding the optical film business and divestitures, display and graphics sales increased 5.3% and profits were flat. Display and graphics saw the effects of a slowdown in the U.S.-driven markets for traffic safety solutions and commercial graphics. Highway construction and commercial graphics for the trucking industry have both slowed as a result of sequential U.S. macroeconomic softness during the course of the second quarter. Despite the headwinds in the U.S., geographically, we saw a good performance in these businesses led by Europe, Latin America, and Asia Pacific. 3M's mobile projection technology, an ultra-compact LED-based projection engine for personal devices, is now in production. We're continuing to see interest in this new technology across a range of personal electronics options, including cell phones, laptops, and PDAs. This concludes my formal comments, so now I will turn the program back over to George to give you color on the optical film business, as well as our thoughts for the rest of the year. George?
Thank you very much, Pat. I'd like first to give you another update on the transition of our optical films business. There are still many investors who don't know the background to the challenges of this business, so let me give you a quick précis. First, of the four optical film segments that we serve, three of them, plus the polarizer films, are relatively stable and strong for us. The issue is, of course, in the supply of films to LCD TVs. Fundamentally, the rapid rise of Vizio as a club brand was the catalyst for this secular change. Beginning about 2 years ago, they rose from eighth place to first place in the US market in less than 9 months. They were able to do what they did by reducing brightness and off-angle viewing standards, vigorously driving out other costs to hit key price points, and getting a great distribution channel. As new and lower price points were hit, the consequent explosion of the volume in the market at the bottom of the pyramid surprised us all. As the market commoditized, it rattled the large branded set manufacturers. They responded by following Vizio's decontenting example and worked to compete better. The net result was that by lowering specifications, TV manufacturers were able to design out a lot of the high-performance films, and 3M did not have the product at the bottom of the market for sale. We had needed that low-cost film product 3 or even 4 years ago. So for 3M, the impact was that we suffered loss of volume from decontenting, as well as huge pricing pressure, leading ultimately to the results in financial transition that we're experiencing today. You'll recall that on our April call, we said that we expected the balance of 2008 to follow the same pattern for optical that we saw in the first quarter, and also that it would be the toughest year of transition for that business. So the pattern that played out in the second quarter was pretty much as we expected. Optical margins for the quarter actually came in a little better than our expectations, though sales were a little below where we thought. To give you an idea of the scale of the change, year-on-year sales of optical films for LCD TV applications have declined by over two-thirds, while profits have dropped by 80%. So after dealing with a tough transition here, I think we can see the bottom, even if we haven't quite reached it yet. I don't expect this subsegment to completely disappear, since there is always a small percentage of consumers who want high performance from TVs, and some films will be retained for that purpose. So what are we doing to manage through this transition period? First, the new management team has been in place in Asia for a few months now, and I'm impressed by their quick understanding of current realities, the realities of both market dynamics and the value proposition that we bring to our customers. Their quick uptake is helped by the knowledge of consumer electronics that was in their background. To strengthen our competitive position, we're taking additional actions to get our cost structure in line with these new market realities. Today, we announced the elimination of 300 jobs in optical systems all across the business, mostly in the US, but some overseas too. These were SG&A, manufacturing, R&D, and other areas. This represents a 20% staff reduction in that business. We're also improving manufacturing efficiency by consolidating several film converting sites in the Asia region. Collectively, these two actions will save around $30 million annually. Additionally, our former film converting plant in Poland has been taken out of the optical films division and is being transformed into a multi-use, multi-division facility for other 3M businesses. We also have intense manufacturing cost reduction activities underway everywhere, and they're beginning to make an impact. As we said, margins in optical systems improved by a point sequentially as some of the cost reductions began to take hold. At the same time, we're actively addressing the market situation by simplifying our product portfolio and making it more relevant to our customers. Our optical products will continue to add value to our customers through technology, even in TVs. This is especially so as energy reduction is now becoming more important to set, monitor, and notebook manufacturers and to consumers as well. Our technologies also contribute to the trend toward thinner TVs. I've said this before, but 3M optical films allow a reduction of 50 to 70% in energy over typical configurations, and consumers can have that reduction today. You can imagine that we are working this issue very hard, and it provides one of the upside opportunities in LCD TVs, as does continued unit growth. So to summarize on optical, the bottom appears to be in sight, if not quite here yet. And we have a new team in place, close to our customers, and we're aggressively taking cost out. And we're working hard to maintain margins and protect the bottom line. We're expecting this transition to be complete in 2008, with the possibility of some bleed over into early 2009. But if so, its impact here should be small. Of course, we're also working hard to maintain margin and protect the bottom line all across the company as we continue to drive our growth agenda, and also even as we fight our way through these not too favorable US economic conditions. As Pat described, it's tough out there, particularly in retail, housing, and automotive OEM markets. No surprises there for anybody. And we will continue to see blips in some of our short cycle businesses where the impact of volume is realized quickly, and fortunately where that impact stabilizes quickly also. I'll state as well that our approach to growth investments is a very practical one. It's not ideological. Like all public companies, we must always keep one eye on the long term and one eye on the short term. We're most certainly determined to drive growth for the long term, but we will do so prudently and with the attention to maintaining optimal flexibility in the timing of those investments. And as always, you'll see constant attention to operational discipline as it accompanies and enhances our drive toward growth. So let me quickly update you on our guidance for 2008. Please turn to slide 16. For the reasons that Pat and I have outlined today, we remain committed to deliver 10% plus earnings per share growth for 2008. With year-to-date operating income margins of 22.7%, we continue to expect full-year operating margins to be in the range of 22.5% to 23.5%. Our tax expectations for the year are also in the band 31.5% to 32%. And finally, our 2008 full-year capital expenditures range between $1.3 billion and $1.4 billion, and this remains unchanged from previous guidance. So that concludes our formal comments here, and so now we're happy to take any questions that you might have. Thank you very much, everybody.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. If you're on speakerphone, please pick up your handset before entering the request. Please limit to your participation to one question and one follow-up. We'll pause for just a brief moment to compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from Dean Dre from Goldman Sachs. Sir?
Good morning.
Morning, Dean.
I'm not sure if you gave this data point, but it would be helpful on the optical film business. What was the impact on price and volume in the quarter?
Well, price was down 12%. And I think total volume is 36, so I think volume is 24.
Okay, and that down 12% is still within the band of what has been the recent trend, so it wasn't like that worsened. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right.
And then just if we could recalibrate, where does LCD TVs now fit in terms of the optical film sales? It used to be in that 30% range. Where does it stand today? And where do you think, on a run rate basis, that'll contribute?
But it, as George mentioned, Dean, it is a kind of a declining piece of the business. It's probably more in the 25% of the business, on a current basis.
Okay, and then just a quick last question, if I could. How much did pension contribute in the quarter? Is that what we're seeing in the unallocated portion there?
Yeah, Dean, that number will stay, the same throughout the year, and it's about $100 million for the year. So it's 25 to 30 for the quarter.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean.
Our next question comes from Scott Davis from Morgan Stanley. Sir, please continue with your question.
Guys.
Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Scott.
I was positively surprised on the margins given some of the raw material prices that we've seen, just most notably out of Dow Chemical. I guess my question really is, it looks like you're mostly FIFO accounting. Is the impact of the big May June price increase not quite flown through to your margins yet, or are there big price increases out there that are going to offset this? And just a little bit of color on that, please.
Yeah, Scott, you are correct. We're primarily a FIFO based company, but don't be worried about a huge increase coming through the system here. What we saw in the second quarter was a 3 to 4%. We don't see a significant change for the Q3. So don't anticipate a drop off here.
Does that mean there's price increases in the hopper, or does it mean that maybe materials are a little bit less of cost of goods sold than what I have in my models?
Raw materials will probably go up sequentially a little bit, but we also have further price increases going in effect in the third quarter as well.
Okay, fair enough. Last question really relates to inventories at the customer level. When consumer office came in stronger than we expected and doesn't totally match up, I guess, with results we've seen from other companies like Avery Dennison, for example. Do you have a sense for inventories at your customer levels? Are there customers buying ahead of some of these price increases or anything that could be deemed as unusual?
Scott, if I was to kind of characterize the consumer business, just kind of overall, we started to see a kind of a slowing, tail end of last year and definitely in the first quarter. We think the second quarter reflects a little more of a business, business as usual approach. We're keeping a close eye on inventories. at both the big retailers, Staples, Office Depot, the like. But of course, we also have the back to school season here in September as well. But we do keep a very close eye on that. And it's one of the things you have to be just a little careful on any given month, any given quarter within the consumer business, because we do fall a little bit out of sync with especially the retailers. Yet, I'd also say that I think versus a lot of the other suppliers into the consumer business, our team has continued to do a marvelous job of new products and penetration programs across the board. So we continue to gain business every quarter.
You would hear, Scott, you heard Pat mention earlier that in the filter treat business, sales are up 75%. And what a lot of our customers have been doing is expanding their presence of 3M products, displacing, in some cases, other products. So we've been very successful at getting share here. And it's really been the innovation, taking those base technologies and innovating into new products that's pulled that kind of thing off. And this has been pretty consistent across the vast majority of our retail customers. So we have done well simply because we've been penetrating with new products, and it's the innovation, the differentiation that again is getting that kind of edge over the competition and the power of 3M brands.
Fair enough. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks.
Our next question comes from David Beglier from Deutsche Bank. Sir?
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Comment what you're seeing in Europe. Any signs of slowing?
Dave, Pat here. Good question. I would say that the large Western European markets have performed similarly for both the first quarter and second quarter. No noticeable change. You definitely worse in the Spain, Italy part of Western Europe, and probably the UK. The continent has remained low single digits for us. So that piece of it's remained solid for us. Central East Europe remains very, very strong for us. We haven't seen any impact there at all, or the Mid East. But no noticeable difference between Q1 and Q2.
Okay, and just on healthcare margins in Q2, they were down versus Q1. What drove that decline?
First of all, I wouldn't worry about it. If I look at the year-on-year results, strong double-digit growth, both top and bottom line. That business will operate in the 28% to 29% margin range, Dave, in any given quarter. We happen to invest a little more in marketing activities in the second quarter versus the first quarter, which is kind of a normal pattern for us.
But there's nothing for you to be worried about, Dave, there. It's a great business, seems to be growing well, continuing innovation, especially in dental, very, very strong in dental, and the orthodontic sort of subcomponent of that. Just doing extraordinarily well. So nothing for you to be worried about.
Hey, Dave, the other thing, I guess, and for everybody, just to remind you that in the second quarter, we have a larger impact of stock option expensing sequentially Q1 to Q2 because our grant date is in the second quarter. So our retirement eligible, what we have to book for retiree eligible people is kind of peaks in the second quarter. So all of our businesses sequentially Q1 to Q2 have a little bit of a hit. I think on a company basis it's worth about a half a point of margin.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Our next question comes from Jeff Sprague from the Citi Investment.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, just a quick follow-up on the corporate before I get to my questions. Pat, I thought the swing from negative $15 million last year in Q1 to a slight positive in corporate in Q1 this year was pension, but we've taken another step up to a bigger positive in corporate. Is there something else going on there?
It includes the pension. It also reflects some of the cost efforts we have for some of the staff activities here. As of course we anticipated where the economy was going, we have started to streamline even more of our overhead costs here in the center, and part of that flows through that corporate and unallocated piece as well.
Would that be flowing through as a negative, not a positive?
No, well, it's a positive. It's a positive. If we take cost out, okay, it obviously is a positive from the income standpoint.
So it's the reflection of actions you've already taken,
right.
Not new actions.
Right.
Jeff, we sort of fixed the amount we charge to the businesses, and if there's an overabsorbed, we'll put it in corporate.
Okay. And, George, just a little strategically, actually around High Jump, I don't remember if that was your deal or not, but it wasn't that long ago that it was bought, but whether you were at the helm for that one or not, I kind of thought conceptually and strategically you had been thinking about kind of a software and electronics type overlay where you could across the businesses. Is that still the case? And if so, what was it about this particular asset that just didn't fit the mold?
Jeff, let me try to handle the historical piece of this, okay, and I'll let George kind of deal with kind of the future. George was not here when we bought High Jump. I was. It was a 2004 acquisition that we made in our industrial business. And it was really trying to get at a space where a lot of our customers had some significant, you know, warehouse management type issues. We thought we could incorporate it into our, you know, many of our industrial offerings, in that we basically dealt with almost all industrial customers. And actually it started off reasonably well, but you know, as you got into it, it became very obvious that there were a lot bigger players in that space that we just could not compete. We didn't have the scale to compete head-on-head with the likes of SAP, Oracle, and the like as they, you know, decided to enter that space as well. It was a, you know, we thought it was worth a shot. You know, we eventually it didn't pan out in the industrial business. We moved it over to the safety security business as part of our track and trace effort to see if it could get some traction there. And realistically, it didn't fit kind of our long-term strategy there. And there is enough interest in the market that we're able to find a buyer for it, albeit at a loss. So I'll let George kind of handle the future piece of it.
On the strategy, Jeff, it's true we have aspirations to move towards some more electronic content in many of our products where it's appropriate. But I think it's a sort of secondary strategy. We clearly have those upfront and central, invest in the core, invest in international as the big lead dogs in our strategy. So all that, as we invest in electronic things, it'll only be at the margin. So you shouldn't see this as any great strategic piece, Jeff, and certainly as Pat has outlined and explained, I had nothing to do with High Jump.
And then can you give us an update on what you're kind of expecting for restructuring over the balance of the year, kind of in the context of the 2 cents that you called out here in the quarter? And I guess as part of that, it's becoming quite normal for companies just to kind of absorb that in the pay-as-you-go and continue the march. Just what's your philosophy on that going forward?
Well, we will continue to assess the business needs. We talked specifically about the optical one. We will continue to assess really in a couple different areas as we look at our supply chain strategies over time. We may have some needs to do some restructuring. But don't think of massive restructuring. Okay? It's more of a one-off situation. But we will continue to assess our our resource levels. We'll currently doing that here in the U.S. To see if we have a need to do something. So we will continue to look at this on kind of a quarter by quarter basis. Looking at our long-term needs as well as kind of what the short-term opportunities are. But don't expect anything large scale. We will take a charge here in the third quarter for the optical correction, and that will both be people as well as around a few facilities that we have. We will more than likely have some offsetting asset transactions going the other, you know, the other direction. So in the third quarter, we will have a few things probably going both directions, probably some asset disposals as well as some further restructuring charges.
That's the policy we followed, Jeff. We've tried for the main, you can't always synchronize these things, is wherever we've done these restructurings, to the extent that we can and to the extent it makes sense, we've tried to synchronize them so you've had an offsetting gain to cover the loss. And it's just, in all companies, it's just an ongoing tweaking, assessment of efficiency and productivity, assessment of market conditions, and taking appropriate action as you go forward. But generally speaking, if you, you'll for the most part, see compensating offsets in the round.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Our next question comes from Shannon O'Callaghan from Lehman Bro.
So on operating margins, can you just talk through some of the businesses in the second half? What do you expect, to get better sort of second half versus, year over year? I mean, you've had margin declines 1Q, 2Q. There's been a mix in that. To get to flat to up 100 basis points, we have to, start showing improvement in the second half. What businesses do you expect to drive that?
Shannon, I wouldn't read too much into, we're running, 22.8 year-to-date. We've kind of said 22.5 to 23.5. I don't see that as being a kind of a significant change. So, second quarter, as I mentioned, we have kind of an unusual, about a half a point move because of the recognition of our retiree stock option obligation. But, other than that, I don't really see a significant change. Q3 has a tendency to maybe be a little bit better, and then Q4 has a tendency to be a little bit, a little bit down, okay, in some of our industrial-related businesses. But I don't see any path that's going to be unusual this year.
And, Pat, you mentioned that, 28 to 29 for healthcare. I mean, first quarter was kind of, I guess, an outlier. I'm not sure, what drove an unusually high-end result there, but is that kind of the right range to think about healthcare?
Yeah, I would say in that, that 28, 29 range, I think, is a legitimate, range. And, any given quarter, it may be a point or, point higher or lower depending upon, what we do. But as I mentioned, the second quarter happens to be that we have a larger portion of some of our discretionary marketing programs going on, and sales may or may not exactly fall in that quarter. So, it's probably a normal range.
And just on display, I mean, you mentioned the optical sequential margin improvement. Are you guys feel more confident that since you had a little bit up sequentially here in D&G, that even though maybe the market dynamics haven't bottomed, your margins have?
I would not go as far to say that the margins have necessarily bottomed in D&G. We feel good. We're fighting this this battle that we had, kind of a stable margin quarter on quarter. But I'm not ready to say that it's going to stay there, okay, for the rest, the rest of the year. That happens to be one of the businesses that possibly could see a kind of a margin drop here of another point or two, at the end of the year.
Okay. And just, last one for me is, given the movement in this corporate line, I mean, can we get a guidance number for that line? It's been a little tough to model. Where is that supposed to come out this year?
Well, I think you can take my simple model would be maybe take Q1, Q2, average them, and use that for Q3, Q4.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
Our next question comes from Steve Tusa from J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, Steve.
How dilutive was Aero in the quarter? Was there some dilution there?
Well, actually, we are very pleasantly, pleased with the startup here of Aero. Originally, we said it would probably be about 2 cents dilutive on an all-in basis. It was probably closer to a penny dilutive. We said we had $20 million of one-time charges in the second quarter, but actually had superb operating results, both top and bottom line for the whole quarter. So really, nothing of to of significance at the corporate level. I mentioned at the sector or the segment level, it probably impacted their operating margins by about 2 points in the quarter. But when you kind of roll that into the company, it kind of gets obviously muted at that point in time. So I wouldn't say it was a big impact.
Okay, and then as far as the plants that you're starting up around the world, are those going according to plan, and are they still operating at losses? Are you loading them? I mean, just give us an update on the various plants around the world and how that's going.
Steve, they're mostly finished now. We're right at the back end of that construction. The vast majority of them went absolutely perfectly. There were a few that got permitting delays in locations where it was a little more challenging, in China and Russia, for example, but nothing of a material nature. And they are progressively getting loaded. The ones that we completed earlier, like the one in Korea, doing extraordinarily well. And we're probably at the point where we'll see a sort of tipping point soon in terms of contribution in the next quarter or two. So seems to have gone. I won't say without a hitch, because that's always tempting providence. But it's an operational execution piece of 3M that has just been superb, frankly speaking, to watch. So no cause for concern. Everything's running to plan, and over time those things will load up and begin to make a bigger contribution to 3M, both on sales growth and operating income.
And there are no problems with regards to external factors like demand, where you're having trouble filling these things up and getting them started to appropriate volumes?
No, in fact, in some cases, Steve, in the ones on Tegaderm, on the ones on the respirators, we would have been a real pickle had we not had that capacity. It's the counter. I mean, the only one where you could point some criticism at is the optical factories, obviously, as a consequence of the transition that we saw. They have not been loaded as heavily as we want. But all in all, it seems to have worked out to be a pretty good strategy.
Great, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Our next question comes from John Roberts from Buckingham Research.
Morning, guys.
Hey, John.
Could you discuss the sequential performance in optical? I know TVs have a seasonality to them, but it would seem that seasonality is kind of a secondary factor right now. So have you seen the bottom in profitability, even though you haven't seen the bottom in revenues? And would you expect some sequential performance as we go through the rest of the year? Sequential improvement?
I guess, if you look at sequentially, John, most of the top line reduction Q1 to Q2 was in the TV, TV segment. The other businesses seem to perform about at the same level from the top line. Bottom line, I think you could probably, you've seen the kind of a further reduction in optical profitability Q1 to Q2. That still may, fall off a little bit here further in Q3, Q4, but we're a lot closer to the to the bottom of it right now.
You heard me, John, say earlier that sales have fallen by about, in that segment, in that LCD TV segment, have fallen by about 66% over what they were a year ago, and profits have fallen by about 80%. So you can sense that even if we lost all of the TV segment, which I think is unlikely, that we are relatively close to the bottom here. I think it's an educated guess in some senses, but I think that there will always be a portion. This is what we see. There will always be a portion of that market will want high-performance televisions that will, give you something of the order 5 to 7%, maybe 5 to 9% attachment rate. So, I think the bottom is within sight. I'm not making any predictions here, but there is gathering momentum in the interest in energy, and of course, one other way that you can use our films is to take a TV or a monitor, or even for that matter, a notebook, and take out lamps and use the films to brighten them, so you end up using less energy. And that factor is now getting a lot more interest from the set manufacturers than it once did. So All I would say is that there's a bit more to go, would be my estimate, a bit more to go, but we're getting close to the end, and I'm hoping that by the end of 08, we're going to be past all or most all of this, and if there's any bleed over into 09, I think the bleed over should be relatively small.
That is my follow-up question, but can you point to any low-end TV product in the U.S. that advertises lower energy consumption? Is there some place you can point us to show that the TV customers, or that your TV customers, would think that this is an important consumer marketing factor?
At this point in time, I can't think of one. John, there are in the notebook space, okay, but not in the TV market.
Right, because that's a battery versus plug-in.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is an emerging issue. John. It may not be there today, but I do think this will get more visibility as time goes on.
John, just won't keep you on the phone call long here, but there's technology that we have today that will cut the energy usage in your television by 50 in a big set, even by as much as 70%. It's here today. You can have it today. At some point, the market is going to get interested in that, and at relatively little or no premium. I think the forces are aligned over the coming months for that to gather some momentum. We'll have to see.
Is there any government movement to put energy ratings on TVs like you have on refrigerators and air conditioners?
Yeah, the EPA has this Energy Star rating they put on TVs. You know, whether the EPA or anybody else, the state of California or perhaps the European Union will take any action remains yet to be seen. But, of course, if they chose to get involved, it would be a real catalyst for some growth in films. And actually, in the end, you know, more environmentally friendly televisions.
You know, John, it's kind of surprising. We've actually seen it in places like China. Okay, China's taken an initiative to, especially within the government procurement offices of mandating, you know, buying, you know, energy efficient electronics and the like. So there is a momentum, you know, there.
That concludes the question and answer portion of our conference. At this time, we will turn the call back over to 3M for some closing comments.
Yeah, so this is Pat. Thanks for joining us this morning. We look forward to seeing you all at our September 9th investor event, and have a good rest of the day.
Thanks a lot, everyone. Thank you.